We read in the Bible all the times that God performed miracles for ancient Israel, from parting of the Red Sea to the plagues of the firstborn of Egypt. The Bible is full of miracles. Are there miracles still today that would be similar to the Bible? Hi, this is Bob Barney with today's Plain Truth Today broadcast, and I want to get into a subject that I don't think most people really think about, and that is American history seen through the eyes of miracles. I think if many of the writers of the Bible who were writing from the inspiration of God, it's God's word, the Bible is God's word, I think if they were around during the Revolutionary War or War of 1812 or World War I and II, they would see history different than Americans see it today. And that is basically because Americans today are basically secular and they do not see the hand of God even when God is there, plainly so. And I'm going to get into this week a bunch of miracles that changed the course of history, that the only explanation to these miracles is the presence of God and protection of America. We read in the Old Testament many times, like I said, where God interfered in the affairs of man. From the escape of the Israelites from Egypt to the fall of Jericho, miracles seem to have been almost a daily occurrence. So we therefore kind of poo-poo them, don't we? We don't really believe they probably happened. And then we read that the Israelites repeatedly turned their back on God. And you'd have to ask yourself, well, if there was really miracles, why would they turn their back on God so soon? Is this just an allegory, or did this really happen? Is it history? Well, perhaps they simply were able to rationalize the miracles of God away, just like we do today, possibly. There were many miracles associated with the founding of our country, but they have been lost and aren't included in most history books, especially in the classroom. Like ancient Israel, America, the modern-day Israel, is a stiff-necked people, refusing to see what God has done for them. And in short, we are just blind to God's presence in this nation's history. Explaining Old Testament miracles, and maybe we just don't see them today. And that's what is really the case. And I want to share some of these miracles right now in this broadcast today. One was celebrated long ago, about 130 years after the incident. And that is a hurricane that comes after a prayer. The Americans and the British were at war with France between 1756 and 1763. We call it the French and Indian War. Had we lost this war, American history would be changed and to an extent where we would not be the nation at all today that we are. Hostilities were in play prior to the formal declaring of war, and had a French fleet that was sailing to Boston was able to finish its mission, the whole war would have been changed. The fleet, which according to some accounts consisted of 20 warships, 32 transport ships, and 20 other smaller utility ships, carried 11,000 sailors and soldiers under the command of, hope I get this name right, Admiral Duke Anville, I guess. He was under orders to expel the British from Nova Scotia and then go to Boston and burn it to the ground and ravage the rest of New England. What transpired happened in October of 1746, and it's a miracle. And no one can say it was not when I read this to you. I'm reading from the account found by Catherine Drinker Bowen on page 10 of the American Revolution, John Adams in the American Revolution. Quote, in Boston, the Reverend Thomas Prince, from the high pulpit of the old Southern meeting house prayed before hundreds of people. The morning was clear, calm, and the people had walked to church at sunrise. He went on to say, "Deliver us from the enemy. Send thy tempest, Lord, upon the waters to the east. Rise thy hand against them. Scatter the ships of our tormentors and drive them away from the coast. Sink their proud frigates beneath the power of thy winds." He had scarcely pronounced these words when the sun was gone and people noticed that the morning started to darken. All the church was in a shadow now. Then a wind began, and it rumbled through the walls, and violent hammering windows started to break. Reverend Prince went on, or Pastor Prince went on in his prayer, and raised his hands and says, "We hear thy voice, O Lord, we hear you. Then come wind, let it end." And when it ended, two of the largest French frigates had sunk in the storm. The whole fleet was nearly lost. Thousands of men were sick with scurvy and other pestilences and died. Their great admiral, D'Anville, was now dead. He had committed suicide when he saw the destruction of his fleet. That is just one of many times when God directly intervened during a prayer in something that was totally, totally impossible to happen without the presence of a miracle. Another time, which we have, and by the way, we're going to redo the article that we put up in the Plain Truth a few weeks ago about miracles in American history, and I'm going to be doing a series on that and maybe come out with a booklet that people could get with all the different miracles that happened throughout American history. And when you read them, it would almost read like you're reading passages from the Bible. And again, you might understand why people just do not understand that miracles have happened, just like the people in the time of Moses kept forgetting the miracles of God, because they were able to explain them away naturally when really there was no natural explanation. Another example, which we have in this article that we will reprint or redo, was during that same French and Indian War, then future president and general of the army, George Washington, had four shots fired at him from sharpshooters. All went through his cloak and clothing, yet not one bullet touched his skin. He himself knew it was a miracle from God. Washington was a very devout Christian, prayed every day, studied the Bible every day, and knew that it was probably impossible for sharpshooters to get that close four times in the same day and yet still not kill him. Then a few years later, during the Revolutionary War, there was another miracle that could only be explained that God was saving the American troops from certain destruction from the English soldiers. This happened in the Battle of Long Island, which would have ended the Revolutionary War, the American Revolutionary War, even before it started. The British had all but defeated the Continental Army at this point, right after the Battle of Lexington and Concord and Bunker Hill. But the British now were waiting for ships to arrive in New York City Harbor in order to finish off Washington's troops. So Washington decided he was going to evacuate his soldiers, 9,000 in all, right under the redcoats' noses at night to shore. They made boats and ferried 9,000 men, horses, weapons all night long across the Hudson River. But there was a problem. The sun came up and there was thousands still left that needed to be evacuated. And if the British saw what was going on, they would have stopped it, and that would have been the end of the American Revolution. But something miraculous happened. They were never going to be able to find those men, because a heavy fog suddenly descended over the entire lower part of Manhattan. that you could not literally see 5 to 7 feet in front of your faces. The fog lasted only long enough for Washington over the next 3 to 4 hours to finalize his escape and get all the soldiers and equipment off the island. In fact, the fog, for some inexplicable reason, left New York perfectly clear when it lifted. So in short, the fog somehow hid the Americans without touching anything else in the area. Nowhere else on Manhattan Island was reported the fog that happened in Lower Manhattan. Then we get to the War of 1812, and this is a story that's just unbelievable. Most people don't remember much about the War of 1812, except for it started in 1812. One of the few events that people do remember, because the Star-Spangled Banner was written during this time, was the British invasion of Washington, D.C. to burn it to the ground. They were going to burn the Capitol and the White House. Everybody may remember that Dolly Madison took the picture of George Washington from the White House as she fled for her life. The British felt quite pleased with themselves when they entered the Capitol area to start a fire. Apparently, however, God did not care for the British plans to burn Washington, D.C. to the ground. And a hurricane, yes, you heard that right, an unexpected hurricane came ashore and put out all of the fires. And in fact, that hurricane killed many, I think hundreds of British troops from the wind, the damage, and an F1 tornado that rampaged through British lines, killing soldiers, destroying cannons, killing soldiers and knocking down the tents. And after that was all gone, the British was totally defeated by the wind of God, not by the Continental Army. A British general who was in charge saw a woman in the street. She was a D.C. resident, and he said to her, "Does these storms come very often here?" And she told him, "I've never seen one before, but I do know the hand of God when I see it." You see, people back then did know the hand of God. Even in modern times, you know, we can think about World War II, I believe, as modern times, and people don't realize that prayer and godly people had a lot to do to turn the tide of the war. One such incident, which is so famous, even Hollywood, put it in the movie about George Patton, because it's a true story, and it is definitely a miraculous story. It was concerning the Battle of the Bulge, which was the single bloodiest battle in American history. It took place in the Belgian town of Bastogne, where 12,000 Americans were encircled and besieged by the German forces and were going to be wiped out. The Germans told the general in charge to surrender. His response was nuts. Patton reportedly stated that a man with such eloquent speech needed to be saved. So he planned to instantly change direction and take his men within 24 to 48 hours over the mountains and into Bastogne to save the soldiers, the 12,000 American soldiers, from certain defeat. There was a problem. Just as Patton decided to make the move and they changed direction and headed towards the town, a blinding blizzard struck, which stopped Patton's men where they were. Patton was enraged. And in fact, he swore at the snow and the wind and decided that wasn't going to work. And he summoned Third Army Chaplain Colonel James O'Neill, a chaplain of the Army, and he told him, "I want a prayer that the snow will stop. I want a prayer for good weather." And the chaplain reportedly said back to Patton, Do you want me to pray for good weather so we can kill our brother Christians? And Patton said, I am sure the good Lord will listen to me if you can write me a good prayer. Give me a prayer and we'll see. God will answer. So the chaplain wrote a prayer, which Patton, I believe, made about 12,000 copies of that prayer and distributed it to his men. And he himself went out and read it aloud to God that the weather would stop, that they would be able to go save the American troops. And about the time he finished praying his prayer, the snow stopped. And Patton's army was able to move within hours from the snow stopping and did rescue all of the men from Bastogne. We have also, I'm going to play some of these videos on the broadcast this week about prayer. But here is an incident about Dunkirk. You know, England is part of Israel. England is the Manasseh part of Israel. And throughout its history, God had intervened in British history to save Britain against its enemies. It's ironic that God also saved Americans from the British, but the British were often saved during wartime from the Europeans, which, as we know, listening to the plain truth, is going to be the center of the King of the North, the Antichrist, the Holy Roman Empire. But back in the time of Queen Elizabeth, when the Spanish king, who was Catholic, wanted to defeat Elizabeth, behead her, get rid of her, and turn England back to a Catholic nation, they sent the mightiest fleet in the world, known at that time, the Spanish Armada, to destroy England, to take over the country, to dispose of the queen, and to reinstate Catholic rule. As they entered into the area of the English Channel, a hurricane, again, came and destroyed all of the Spanish Armada and saved England from certain defeat. Here is another story about the Battle of Dunkirk. At the beginning of World War II, America was not in the war yet, and the English forces had invaded into France and were back to Dunkirk in Belgium with their backs to the water, to the English Channel, and the Germans in front of them, and there was about 750,000 soldiers there that would have been prisoners of war or killed, and it would have been the end of England, and Hitler would have definitely taken over England at the time. It was a certain victory for Hitler, but this is the story, and I'll take it from here.
Dr. Marshall Foster explained that it took the Germans only weeks to destroy the French army and trap the English army of 400,000 men on the coast of Belgium at Dunkirk. During this crisis, with the imminent fall of England and all of Europe at hand, the English called up an old Christian warrior, Winston Churchill, to be their prime minister. Churchill and the king called the people of England back to God in a day of repentance and prayer on May 26, 1940. As the leaders and millions of English met and wept in faith that day, God answered their prayers. Through the miracle at Dunkirk, 600 little boats ferried 330,000 soldiers back to Britain, right under the direct fire of Hitler's tanks and air force. God had turned the treacherous English Channel into a sea of glass and covered the sea with a blanket of fog, blinding the German planes. Dr. Marshall Foster explained further that within weeks, the entire continent fell to the Nazis. England faced a summer of massive bombing attacks by the Germans called the Blitz, in which almost 50,000 people perished. How could a 66-year-old political has-been turn the tide of tyranny against the greatest army in history? Winston Churchill almost single-handedly lifted a nation and the entire free world from hopelessness and fear through his example of faith and his powerful words. That first summer, when Germany's imminent invasion of England was coming, Churchill lifted the bar above politics to the real spiritual struggle between paganism and Christianity. Churchill said, "I expect the Battle of Britain is about to begin. Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization." In another speech before Parliament, Churchill refused to listen to the voices of surrender. He said, "You ask what our aim is. I can answer in one word, victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory, however long and hard the road may be, for without victory there is no survival." Dr. Marshall Foster of the World History Institute pointed out that the premier weapon that defeated the Axis powers in World War II was not the bomb or America's manufacturing of war material. It was faith. And the spark that ignited that faith was Winston Churchill. He is considered by most historians to be the man of the century. Faith overcomes terror.
Yes, faith does overcome terror. Faith overcomes everything. Because as God often points out in his word, is there anything too hard for me to do? God, I think, is kind of surprised because he created everything. That's the God we know as Jesus Christ. If you know the Bible well, you will know that the Bible says it was the God before he was Jesus Christ. In his pre-existing Jesus Christ form, God of the Old Testament, that created the entire universe and all of the earth and everything on it. Yes, the Creator, Lord, God of the Old Testament, who talked to Adam, who talked to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and who was David's Lord, was none other than the God who would become Jesus Christ. But God is, I think, surprised that when he does miracle after miracle, we just don't get it. We don't give him any credit for it. But you can study American history, and if you write it the correct way, you would understand that the miracles of the Old Testament have happened right up to this present day when it comes to America. Remember who America is? In previous broadcast, I explained it very well, who we are in prophecy. And God has been with this nation, protecting this nation, because of a promise he made to his best friend, a shepherd named Abraham. That's why we have the blessings we have. Not our constitution, not the way that we are, because we're a rotten, no good, stiff-necked people. And we have been since the days of the Old Testament. But God will not go back on a promise he made to Abraham. However, there is a time coming when God said he would withdraw that promise and he would punish us for our sins and lawlessness. We are in that time today, but it's not too late. We can still recognize God's miracles and go to God in prayer as a nation, prayer and fasting, and ask God to give us time to change things, to sigh and be upset over what we see happening in this world today, and to realize God has the power to answer our prayers and delay the inevitable. The end of America will come, but it does not have to come in our lifetime. It does not have to come if we as a nation go back to God, and God will heal us. So the rest of this week, the Plain Truth will be on the podcast section, the broadcast section, we'll be having shows about miracles that God did for America. There's quite a few of them, most of which I'm sure you haven't heard of, but they're true. And they're well documented. These are not, you know, stories that you can't prove. These are well documented stories and proving God's involvement in American history. God can be involved in your history as too, if you want him to be. He will come in and he will help you if you want him to be. But this is Bob Barney, and I hope that every day you go to The Plain Truth and you read the message board, you read the main page, and you listen to the podcast. You know, we also have Your Health Today, which we put up stories two or three times a week, and it's still worth going to that. We have a story going up this week on Your Health Today about CBD and everything you should know about CBD for pain, for going to sleep, and such and such. But again, this is Bob Barney for theplaintruth.com saying thank you for listening. Please come back again.